cards we have received, and flowers and condolences. We appreciate that. It's been a trying week. Amen. But God is good. This last Wednesday, when father-in-law went home to be with the Lord, and so it's been pressing on. Amen. God is good. But mom's doing good. My wife is over with her mom right now and staying there a couple of days. And she's recovering well. My wife is recovering well. We got so exhausted flying back from the missions trip and all that that she just wore down here. So it kind of affected her body a little bit. So she's doing better. Amen. But she wanted to stay with her mom tonight. So I said, okay, you get this one off. That's it. Not going to do this every week. We don't roll like that. Amen. We roll to church. Amen. But anyhow, so we're doing good. Mom is doing great. She's very active today. They're filling out. Took them all day to fill out all the thank you cards and everything that they're mailing out. So I got over there and I was picking up our dog, and they said, we just finished. I said, wow. So that was an all-day project. And then, so they did all that today. But anyhow, so they're pretty wore out and tired. And so anyway, God is good. But family's getting through it. We've heard a few from the family. They're all doing good and saying a few little things here and there. It's all good. But I just thought tonight, before I minister, I thought I would just open up a little bit, see what the Lord has done in your guys' life. I'd like to hear a few good testimonies, something that the Lord has blessed you with, or something that the Lord is doing for you. Amen. A testimony is uplifting. Amen. It's to build us up, not to tear us down. Amen. So it gets a little dangerous sometimes because it can go the wrong way, and we want a testimony to be lifted up. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. So I'll have Ricky just kind of pass this around for us, and I'll turn my lapel on. So who wants to be first? Jorge wants to be first.
Better be good. The Bible says if you want to boast or glorify something, it's Lord Jesus. So I want to be first.
Yeah.
I learned that when the opportunity is open, you take the step. Okay, I want to glorify the Lord because, as some of you knew, they changed my days off, so I was having split days, and I had Saturday, Sunday 1 week, and the following week it was Saturday and Friday. So I could only be here every other Sunday. Thank God for my helper. It is paper, that's true, praise God. Revelation. So I knew about the breakfast for men, and the sign up was there, and that was like about 2-3 weeks ago that the sign up sheet went up there. And I think it was Sister Joyce. No, the other sister, blonde sister, what's her name? Maybe. Jennifer, okay. So she said, are you going? And I said, well, I work Sundays sometimes, Saturdays and Sundays sometimes is not safe, but I'm going to put my name down, and I'm going to believe God that they're going to give me the days off. And part of me, like the back of your head, is still speaking and saying, no, you're not. But the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And I cast down those thoughts. It's like, no, you don't have dominion over me. Like I said a few weeks ago, when you take a thought captive, you know it because you speak it. So if you don't receive it, you don't take it captive, you don't speak it. We have authority. I'm teaching. I'm not even supposed to do that right now. So I put my name down, and 2 weeks ago, they changed my days back to Saturdays and Sundays. And I want to glorify God for that.
I promised Pastor Christine I'd share this. It's a healing. Again, God's healed me several times, but just most recently, I don't know if you have anybody's ever had plantar fasciitis. It's something you get in your feet, and your feet can be very painful. And if you've had it, you'll understand this a little better. But it gets to the point where you can't, your feet get inflamed, you can't walk, you can't stand. I'm a nurse. I have to be able to stand and walk. And it got to the point at one time that I was just, you know, going to the doctor, getting injections in my feet, wearing orthotics, doing everything I was supposed to do, but God wasn't healing me. And my husband Jerry had the same thing, and he said he got to the point where he just crawled home after running one day and said, God, this is it, I want to be healed. And God healed him immediately. But with me, this has been going on for several years off and on, so I'm like, well, what's wrong with my prayers, you know? But I didn't dwell on it. I knew God's going to heal me, you know, eventually this is going to come to pass. And it was a few Wednesdays ago, I was come to church, and I felt a really urgency to get to church, and I thought it was because I wanted to say goodbye to Stephanie and the pastors were going on their missions trip. I wanted to see them. But we were praying before service at night, and Pastor Barb was, I can't remember what exactly she was praying about. There was about healings, and she was saying, you know, just touch the part of your body. You don't have to come up front. Just touch the part that's needs to be healed. So I was sitting in the back, and I had been thinking, Jerry and I had been driving in the car a few days before that, and we saw a person running. And I said, I really miss running. I love to run. I would all my life have ran off and on. So we were just talking. I said, I'd love to be able to run again. Well, that's not going to happen because my feet hurt, you know. But that night, I was sitting in church, and I was praying over my feet, and I was just doing what Pastor Barb was saying, asking the Lord for healing. And I said, I want to be able to walk comfortably. I want to be able to work. I want to be able to do what I need to do. And then, Brother Ricky, you'll appreciate this. I said, why stop there? I want to be able to run again. And those words were no longer, you know, going through my mind. Then Pastor Barb said, she's up front praying too, and she said, this is going to sound really weird, but there's somebody out there I'm supposed to tell, pick up your running shoes. It's time for you to start running. And I was like, that is me. I knew it was me. And the good thing is I'm healed. I'm running again, you know, slowly. But more importantly, it was God showing me that He does answer. Be persistent. He's going to answer your prayer. Don't give up on praying. And also how the Holy Spirit is so in tune. If we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, I mean, Pastor Barb had no idea. I had never told her anything about my feet. I'm so thankful that our pastors are so in tune and praying for us that she heard from the Holy Spirit what I was praying and answered my prayer. So that touched my heart even more than being healed, that the Holy Spirit speaks to others on our behalf. And God is just so good. He's so good.
Well, I got so many testimonies. I was sorting through my head which one should be more important, or should I talk about. But back in 2005, we came to Bullhead City with literally nothing in our bank account. Three kids and whatever we could fit in the trunk of our car. So we came out in faith, you know, and Abraham, you know, go out, get away from your father's house. So we did. And I tell you what, God has just been blessing us hand over fist. I can't give out enough money without it coming back. You know, even in all my advertising, even in all my giving, my tithe, you know, with my baseball team, my kids, you know, I've just seen it come back, and it's just amazing, you know, that, you know, it's something I learned when I was young, and I always used to give it a little bit different than when I give now. I give now knowing that, you know, I'm doing my part, you know, you know, giving the tithe, which is His, you know, but, and you know, Pastor Stephanie had a great testimony too. If the church needs money, who's he going to give it to? He's going to get it to his people to give to the church. I want to be that guy it goes through. So, I mean, right? And it's just been amazing. You know, I just can't imagine, you know, getting as high as we have, you know, and going even further, you know, but I'm ready. And, you know, just opportunities keep opening up. So it's worked for me. You know, another thing, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the beginning of the year. You know, of course, you know, the doctors always convince you that, you know, this is something you have to live with. You're just going to have to accept, you know, and this and that. But, you know, ever since it started, he had really, you know, like 10 units of insulin, which, you know, is probably not high. He doesn't have a whole lot of body weight. But, you know, now he's down to 2 or 3. He's stabilizing. You know, we're believing for full recovery. We don't accept, you know what I mean, tolerating it. It's not what his body was created to do. It's just a phase, you know, and that's what we're all believing in. You know, it's going to be a good testimony for him. So that's what we're believing.
The first thing I have to say is that my grandson Noah loves the word. He wants to go to sleep by it. He wants to hear it. He wants to know what it means. So that's my first praise report. That's like amazing that a 7-year-old has that much love for the word. But we've been going through different stories in the Bible. We went through Joseph and that whole story and how Joseph knew at the end of the story, because I asked him, would you be angry, you know, that your brother sold you off to slavery and all the things that happened to him? And he said he would be angry, and then we found out what Joseph's attitude for that was. And so he's learning about godly attitude and how God wants you to react to different situations. So he got into Noah. And so we were saying that, you know, God, you know, had Noah build the ark, and the, you know, animals came in and everything. And when I said God made a covenant with Noah, and I asked him, do you know what that word means? So we explained about the covenant and what it means, that your enemies would be God's enemies, or Noah's enemies, and that your, you know, God, your friends would be God's friends, and then God's things would be your things, and your things would be God's things. And I kept on saying Noah, and finally he went, well, who are you talking about? And I looked at him, and it hit me. I said, I'm talking about you, because you are under a new covenant, and your things are God's things, and God's things are your things, and your enemies are God's enemies, and God's enemies are your enemies, and he purposely had you born at this time and this day because there are people that you need to reach for him. You're representing God on this earth. So he goes, well, wait a minute, then I don't belong here. And I said, no, you don't. Your home is a kingdom of heaven where God is. And he got it. You could see it in his head that he got it. So I said, so you know when we say greater is he, and he goes, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I said, now you got it. So we went through like 5 scriptures. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strong. We went through that whole thing. He knows about 6 or 7 scriptures. And because we've been teaching him scripture too, and they all downloaded one right after the other. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen, is for a 7-year-old to get it. Who I am, where I belong, and who my real father is. Amazing blessing. Amazing.
Last year, in 2017, my family found me on Facebook, and it really restored my friends' faith as they were watching this happen. And it's been a 35-year-old miracle that I am so surely blessed. This will be my first Easter in Arizona with family. Amen.
You are going to love the picnic. Oh my gosh, it is so much fun. The picnic is a blast. So I wanted to share about Jordan. You guys know she's out in college, and she was running short on part of her, tuition. And so she had literally just got done praying, and then she was going back home, and she got home and opened up her mailbox, and she got a scholarship for $1,000, so she was able to pay off her the rest of her tuition for the semester. Thank you, Jesus! Amen! Glory to God. That's big news.
Yes, I went in and had my knee surgery, and of course you got to pay up right then and there. And just this past week, I received a reimbursement check for that. They said I paid too much money. And then in the meantime, right, like about 4 days after I had the surgery, I had to go in for a root canal, and I waited for them to let me know what I owe them for that, and I finally called this past week, and they said I owe nothing.
This past November, I was diagnosed with cancer, and no less than three doctors agreed that that's what it was. And he said that's just, instead of doing a biopsy, let's just go in and take out the two little lumps that they had found to a CAT scan. So we agreed to do that, and on December 12th, we went in, and they took they did the surgery and took them out, and the surgery was perfect. And I returned to the room, and every system in my body shut down. And so I was in dire shape and dire conditions, and Pastor visited me and prayed for me numerous times. Jim came and prayed for me. Don came and prayed for me. My wife never left my side. In those times, I knew who my Savior was, no matter how much medicine I had. And it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I called his name out and he heard me. And we got out of the hospital after 8 or 9 days, or not, 6 or 7 days in intensive care. And that was a real blessing just to get out of that place, let me tell you. And then a week or two later, we got the results of the cancer, and there was no cancer in my body. Thank you, Jesus.
Man, amen. Hallelujah. I think we're going to stop there. I won't have no time to finish up. Amen. It's all good, though, isn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, my wife normally preaches a lot on Wednesday nights, so I'm taking her spot tonight. And I wanted to minister just a little bit on peace. God will give you peace. You know that? In the middle of a storm, he'll give you peace. If you want to open up your Bibles to John 14, we're going to read verses 25 through 27. John 14, 25 through 27. And it says, New King James Version, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. As I was looking up this word peace today, I noticed that it was mentioned 429 times in the Bible. Now, obviously, I didn't go through and I did it on the computer, so it might be not perfect, but it should be close. And the word love is mentioned only 310 times. The word peace is found in every book of the New Testament except for 1 John. So that word peace is pretty powerful. Now it is a Hebrew word and it is a Greek word. The Hebrew word, as we're very familiar with, is shalom. Amen. And we're going to get into the definition of that in just a minute. And the Greek word is, if I'm saying it right, is Irene. And that was someone said that to me. I said, I can say that word. That's American. Amen. Irene. But we see that the word promises and describes a descriptive title for God out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and it's a very Christmas one we use a lot for Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the governor shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In Ephesians 2:14, Paul says of Jesus, he is our peace. In Philippians 4:7, Paul writes, and the God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Amen. And I want to get into this just a little bit into as we go on here, because we don't have peace in this world, but we can have peace in the world when we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. Likewise, in the New Testament, God offers references as to God of peace. And if you want to write these down, I can just give them to you. Romans 15, 33, 16, 20, Philippians 4, 9, and 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. What's that, a little slower? Okay. Romans 15, 33, and 16, 20. Philippians 4, 9, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and Hebrews 13, 20, by referring to the God of peace. It's the God of peace. We're being told that God is the source of our peace. Amen. Let me tell you what, if you're born again and you don't have some peace in your life, it's not because God isn't offering it to you. Amen. It's because you're not receiving it. You're not wanting to walk in it. You're not wanting to deal with having a peaceful situation. There are some people that live on drama. But you know what? God didn't want us to live on drama. He wants us to live in peace. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here that Isaiah tells us the precious price was paid for every child of God to experience the peace of God. Let me read that to you out of Isaiah 53, verse 5. Very familiar scripture. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Now, let me say it like the Living Bible, which is a paraphrased version of the Bible. It says it like this. It's not the New Living Translation. This is the older, the Living Bible. But he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. And he was lashed that we were healed. Now, out of the Amplified, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Amen. We are promised peace. Amen. You know, you can get into a whole family situation, and you can just say, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to have peace in this situation. You can get into a whole situation, a financial situation you might be going through, and you can just sit down and say, Lord, I'm going to have peace of God in this situation. And when you realize that you're operating in the peace of God, you realize that the world didn't give it to you, and the world isn't going to take it away from you. Amen. It's a God-given gift that comes to us. Amen. Once you're born again, you know, we get the fruit of the Spirit that dwells in us out of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And one of those is peace. Amen. One of those is peace. Love, joy, peace. Amen. We get to attain peace. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, it says to all the Roman, to all that are be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you see a lot in the epistles, grace and peace, grace, mercy, and peace, always coming from God the Father through Christ. Amen. Coming from God the Father through Christ. So it's clear that God wants to heap his promises on us. Amen. And one of those promises is peace. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we were in the hospital last week, but there was peace in the hospital. There was never fretting, worry. There was the peace of God in there. And you can have peace in every situation. Hallelujah. The meaning of the word peace, the Hebrew word, as I mentioned earlier, is shalom. Hallelujah. The whole meaning encompasses the mental, spiritual, physical, financial state of a person. In fact, shalom can mean wholeness, soundness of mind and body. Now, if you ask a Jewish person shalom, they're going to probably tell you nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the simple definition of shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. So we come to realize when we hear that word shalom, after a while, it just automatically comes to me, nothing missing, nothing broken. I have the peace of God. And if I have God in me, I have nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. It may look like a tornado all around me, but I have nothing missing and nothing broken. Glory to God. I may have to comb my hair when I get through it, the storm. Amen. But there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Amen. Glory to God. So, we find these definitions very comforting, knowing that God planned for us to live in peace. Amen. Now, in John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that ye may have peace." Amen. And then the next breath, it says, "And in the world they shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Amen. Then he said in John 15:18-20, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." That's comforting. Amen. You find people who hate you, you say, "Well, I know they hated Jesus too." Amen. Glory to God. How do we harmonize? I don't know if that's the correct word or a good word, but I can say harmonize. Amen. I can't sing harmony, I don't think. But how do you harmonize having the peace of God living on the inside of you, yet on the outside? Because he says, "The peace of God I'll give to you, but you're going to have tribulations." Right in the same scripture verses. Well, what? How am I going to have peace and tribulation at the same time? Isn't that a good question? Well, I think we're going to find out a good answer, don't you? Because if Jesus said, if you can have peace in tribulation, you can have it. I want to say that the world looking, their definition for peace is everything settled down. Everything smooth. No one hurting each other. No one backbiting. No more gossiping. No more this. No, and you know what? It'll never happen. Because there's a devil in this world that causes hatefulness, deceit. But God says, or Jesus said, that we could have peace in tribulation. Well, how do we obtain that? Well, let's find out a little bit. Amen. In verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." World gives different type of peace. The world gives peace that there's no peace. I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. So we can have the promise of peace through the Holy Spirit. In those first verses that we read, didn't we say that he said he's going to send us the Holy Spirit? Amen. And when we become born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. We can also put the icing on the cake and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's where we get our Pentecostalism from. Amen. From the Holy Spirit. Amen. That will lead us, and he says he will guide us into all truth. Amen. Glory to God. So if he's going to lead us and guide us, he's going to lead me in a way that that trouble is not going to affect me as it would somebody else in the pressures of life. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says he is our comforter. Amen. When I was doing the funeral service, and I actually asked Mom after we were meeting up at the, where were we at? Maybe it was at the house. I said, Mom, who do you want to officiate the funeral? Thinking, they know a lot of ministers, and they know a lot of people that could do it. And I just thought she might pick somebody else besides me. And so she said, I don't know yet. And I thought, okay. So then about a half hour later, she says, Tim, I want you to officiate the funeral. Okay, thanks, Mom. And I said, I the reason I'm asking, because I don't know, I may have a hard time with this. She said, she gave me some good words. She said, when I had to go do my brother's funeral, she said I was just really upset and didn't know how I was going to get through it, what I was going to do. But she said, you know what? Bible says that the Holy Spirit is my comforter. You know what? That's when he comforts you, when you need it. She said, I needed his comfort right then. And that got me through all that. So I took that, received that, and I said, the comforter will help me get through this. Amen. And he does. Hallelujah. I like where Jesus also said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. The world gives false hope, false pretenses, false everything, basically. Amen. But Jesus gives you the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. We go into situations and people ask, how can you be so peaceful? I got Jesus. I got the Lord. I got the Holy Spirit dwelling on me. Amen. And you know what? And I said this before, but I like the statement. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away from me. Amen. Philippians 4:7, we'll read again. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ. Amen. We've been given this peace of God. If we've been given something, I think we should use it. Amen? So if we don't use what God's given us, then we're not using what God wants us to use to get through things in life. And having peace in every situation is going to help you, but it's also going to help people around you. Amen. John over here sitting, and I had to go meet with him yesterday real quick, and he did some work for me, so I just wanted to pay him so he might work for me again. Amen. That's what you do, huh? And so anyhow, yeah, remember that, Jorge. Amen. Yeah.
And so anyway, he was under a lot of pressure. He had to get, did you get it all done? Amen. I left there and I just got in the band and I said, Lord, I just thank you that John has the peace of God finishing up all the stuff he had to do. He had to have it done by 2 o'clock today. And I said, he just has the peace of God and the knowledge and the strength and the wisdom and who to call, when to get things delivered, what, figure out the problems, get them fixed right away. Amen. But we can do that. We can have peace in the middle of a hard situation. Amen. He gives us the peace. And let me tell you, when I got there, he wasn't sweating. He wasn't like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He was just working, fixing some things that were messed up. Amen. God gives you peace in every situation. Just think about this. Remember Jesus in the boat and the disciples were fighting the storm? And Jesus was in the, I think it's called the helm of the boat, sleeping. Had his little travel pillow. And he was sleeping. And they're out fighting the storm. And they finally came to him and says, don't you care that we live? And so he finally got up. And he rebuked the storm. Amen. And you know what happened there? Peace. Because the Prince of Peace said it. So it had to obey. Sometimes we get storms around our lives. Sometimes we just got to say, peace, be still. Amen. We got to command that thing to stop. Amen. So we're going to learn how to work peace, understand peace, and realize that when things happen, storms happen, trials happen, he never said nothing would happen. But we have something when things happen. We have peace. We have the Holy Spirit. We got the Word of God. Amen. One thing we got around us here is we have church family. Amen. That I can go to somebody and say, you know what, I need prayer. Would you agree with me? This situation turns around. If you can't agree with them, don't say you're going to pray with them. If you agree with them, agree with them. Amen. Hallelujah. They don't want to tell you just so they'll tell somebody. They want somebody to agree with them. When two or three are gathered together in his name, he shows up, and he does. So, let's continue in God's peace and realize his peace is what we want. Amen. In every situation. Because when you have peace, you can hear the Spirit clear. Amen. You can hear the voice. Amen. You ever sometimes just got to get away and say, I got to be alone with God. I got to hear him. I got to find out. I need to know what to do. Time's running short. But when we have the peace of God, it's not going to get fixed like the world fixes. It's going to get fixed the way God fixes things. And he settles it. Straightens it out. Do you have to believe he'll do it? Yeah. Anything that we do as far as Christianity, you're going to have to put some faith towards it. You're going to have to believe his word's true. That he'll give me peace in every situation. That I can have the peace of God no matter what. Amen. I can have the joy of the Lord. Amen. I can walk in love. Glory to God. I have long patience. Amen. I have long suffering. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Long suffering. Amen. We have patience. We have the peace of God living in us. Amen. And that's what the Lord wanted to give. Amen. Hallelujah. So realize the Lord loves us, and He has given us everything we need to do to operate in this life successfully. Amen. He didn't ill-equip us so He could go, No. He given us everything we need that we can be successful in life. And the reason He did that is because He wants more people to go to heaven. Because when we look successful, and when people see us go through some terrible things and we come out just with our hair messed up, it shows off. People say, how do you get that? How'd that happen? You say, the peace of God. Amen. Well, would you stand with me? Hallelujah.